And so what's the point? So what's the point? The point. The point. 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 Point.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy.
I am the message. Save your generation.
Listening to Save Your Generation on the Bill Radio Network.
Let's hope that that was the last interruption and distraction, and I can actually get this show done this week. You're listening to Save Your Generation on the Revere Radio Network every Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the time zone tip. If you don't know, now you know. If this is your first time listening, you picked a good one to tune in tonight. I got a special guest for you. I got some news updates. I got lots of stuff in line, lots of stuff planned. I got, you know, a whole new outlook on life, because it is a new year, right? It's January. What is today? Today is January 5th in the year of 2007. But what does that really mean? What does that mean anything at all to you? Because it means nothing to me. I was discussing this with my friend the other day. Her birthday is January 2nd. And so, you know, on your birthday and then even at New Year's, people always ask you, do you feel any different? Like when you get on your birthday, oh, all of a sudden you just feel so much older and wiser and changed. So I was joking with her, like, you know, well, you must feel super different because there's a new year, then the very next day is your birthday. So, I mean, it's just nonstop new beginnings for you. And that was a laugh, but it's the truth. Neither of these, whether it's your birthday or whether it's New Year, none of this is really any type of newness or renewal. I mean, if you want to look at it in the true sense, every single day is new. Every single day that you open your eyes and you get to see the earth, and even if you're not seeing the earth, but you're alive and you're experiencing any type of living, then you're seeing a new day, and you should be thankful for that and be celebrating it, because it's a day you've never seen. It's a day no one has ever seen. Today, Friday, January 5th, 2007, that's what they might call it on the pagan calendar. And believe me, the calendar system is completely pagan and based only revolving around sun worship, which is something else we're going to get into later on tonight. But so what have we been doing? There's a lot going on. There's a lot happening. The media calls this a slow news week, you know, the time after Christmas and after New Year. There's not really a lot going on, but there's been plenty happening if you haven't been paying attention. You know, there's a lot happening here, a lot happening overseas. We got a lot to cover tonight. 1 week ago, if you heard my show, if you tuned in last week, then you're a good trooper. If you didn't tune in, hopefully you caught the show in the archives with an extra added hour. That was the New Year show, 3-hour special. Hopefully you checked it out and you dug it. But it was breaking news on Revere. If you tuned into my show, you heard it during my show. It was actually going on over there at the same time. But Saddam was hung. You all know about it. You didn't miss it. 1 week ago today. So we're going to get into, what does the Saddam hanging truly mean? Was it Saddam? What could they have been wanting to distract from? What else is going to happen in 2007? Is this just the beginning? That was the icing, or not even the icing, but just the tip of the iceberg, I should say. That there's going to be so much more breaking, happening, crazy stuff. I mean, so hopefully you're down with that. And what else happened in this past week? Well, last week I told you I called in to Jack Blood on Friday, right before my own show. But truly, the reason why I had called in to Jack last week was because I couldn't get in to Alex Jones. I had tried the entire week. I had tried the week before. Finally, on Friday, right before my show, I was like, well, Jack's talking about something good. Let me see if I can even get through to this, because I can't get through to Alex Jones, but maybe Jack's show is easier to get in through. And I did first try on Friday. I've never called in to Jack's show before. Never spoke to the man, but I decided to give it a shot. And it was cool. I talked about it. We talked about the 3,000 dead soldier and some other stuff. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, too, because those are the two things that I think are two things that need to be analyzed the most right now, because they did it for a specific reason, and we're not, I don't think we're getting the true reading of what's been going on. So we're going to analyze that, and we're going to analyze what I called in Alex Jones on Monday. I was, I guess coincidentally, but I mean it's crazily, that I was his first caller of 2007. So what do we talk about? Stay tuned for that, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And I really didn't want to, you know, call in and be the first caller talking about something that was kind of off topic, but I mean, I called in last week, all throughout the week, and finally only could get into Jack Blood, but whatever. I got to ask him the question anyway, I got to see his point of view, and well, that's all I'm going to say about that. Stay tuned and hear what I have to say, and I'll play for you my call with Alex, and alright, well, speaking of Alex and Jack, why don't we play a song for them, as we always do about this time on Save Your Generation. You know we play a lot of music on here. Right now I'm going to play a song for Alex and Jack Blood, because they are two very decent dudes, very good dudes, sincere, and people, I mean, I respect their opinions, and I know you out there listening right now respect their opinions, and you respect the information that they bring us. I mean, they are the two of the top dogs, and they got the goods, so that's where we go when we want to, you know, find out if something is legit, right? We usually see their take on the situation, and then, you know, build off our opinions. I know all of us have different opinions on all of these people, but I think since they are, I guess, the leaders of the movement, if you want to be technical, I know there's no real leader of anything, but they're the ones who are at the forefront, day by day, at the front line, so it's always good to get their take on some things. Alright, so I'm going to play a song for those two dudes, Jack Blood and Mr. Alex Jones, and anyone else out there listening in Texas. This is for you and all the other good old boys down in Tejas. You're listening to Save Your Generation on the Revere Radio Network. It's Friday, January 5th, 2007, first broadcast of this new pagan year, and I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you're going to stay tuned in for every other week, the next 52 weeks, and just always tuned in, because I'm going to bring it to you, straight to your face with the truth. All right, this is Lone Star Song for all of you out there in the Lone Star State.
There's a bullet in my heart tonight, in my heart of Texas. A shadow to the old outside. We are rolling home. The shadow angel in my flight, and now she won't protect us. A shadow to the band of mice. We are waiting. Like in the films of Hollywood, and the angels are descending like a rush at sunset. With that tea.
The holy war is ending. Man, so amazing. Grant Lee Buffalo. I can't sing like him. Then again, I'm not male vocalist of the year. Rolling Stone magazine, after they released that album, they voted Grant Lee Phillips, the singer of Grant Lee Buffalo, male vocalist of the year. And it's when you hear that album, it's no wonder why. Dude is absolutely incredible. If you don't have that record, you should go pick it up. It's called Mighty Joe Moon. The song is, again, Lone Star Song. It's the first track off that. It's an absolutely flawless record. And actually, any of their records are flawless. You should go pick them up. Fuzzy, that's another good one. I played a song off Fuzzy before. America Snoring, for those of you familiar with this show and pay attention to the music that I play. It's another absolutely great song about this country, about what's happening. You know, like that song said, it said, pray the holy war is ending. And then it goes on to say, the angels are descending like Koresh had said they would. Now, think about that. I think you know what he's talking about. And who thought he was right? Except for Grant Lee Phillips and probably myself and maybe some other people out there listening. But, I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. Even the next verse, it goes to say the choppers are descending instead of the angels descending. Because Ma Reno, exactly. You get it? Talking about Waco, talking about all that stuff. It's a Lone Star Song. Everybody knows, don't go to Texas. They'll fuck you up. That's an old joke I probably shouldn't have said, but it's funny for those of you who get it. But that's what happens when you go to Texas. Great band, great album. That just totally distracted me because it's such a good song. I hope you enjoyed it as well. Whenever I hear that album or any of Grant Lee Buffalo stuff, I always think, oh man, Jack or Alex should play that on their show. They're from Texas, and it's totally fitting songs, totally awesome songs. I don't know how you can't like Grant Lee Buffalo, but that was Lone Star Song. And alright, so let's talk about something real right now. Oh, wait, first of all, go read the lyrics of that song over at revereradio.net, because maybe, you know, you were just too busy rocking to the sweet sounds and listening to his voice croon to you. But, I mean, and if you didn't like that, I don't know if people out there hear the stuff or pay attention or, you know, even if I wasn't into the type of music, I could appreciate something for the messages, whether it be religious, political, social. And the way Grant Lee Phillips presents them, his lyrical patterns, his, the way he, just everything. I don't want to sound like I got a man crush on him, but he is a great, I mean, male vocalist of the year. It's because he's awesome. But, alright, on to some real news now. Actually, first, let's go over the whole Alex Jones thing. Since we just played that song, I think that's appropriate. Because I want everybody to know out there that I am a big fan of Alex Jones. I'm sure you are, too. I mean, I'm not a fan of the person, I guess, as so much the information, you know, what he does. Jack as well. I don't know them personally, how these people are as people, but I do know what they do on the radio and their information, and I'm a fan of that. I don't know how you can't be a fan of that. They're trying to give us the truth, right? So, basically, when I called Alex's show on Monday, the 1st, I guess a lot of people were home, I guess because of a holiday, so they heard it. A couple of people messaged me. I got people asking me, like, hey, was that you on the radio, whatever? But, I was thinking I sounded like a complete idiot. I was like, oh, no, why are people asking me this? How do all these people hear this? I sound stupid? What happened? But, one person said I pwned, whatever that word means, Alex Jones, which I don't think I did, and that's not the, like, purpose, what I was trying to do. I was just trying to get, like I said, I respect his opinion, and I respect his research. So therefore, I was just basically trying to confirm that my research was correct, and that if you had listened to my Christmas show, I went over a whole bunch of different things, and I wanted to get his, you know, because I respect, if he says it's fact, then it's fact. You know, that's how people kind of much take it. They trust but verify, you know what I mean? And so I have already verified, and I've looked it up, so I just wanted to hear what he had to say. So, and a lot of people probably disagree with the stuff that I've said was talking about, because you haven't researched it for yourself, so you don't actually know. You only know what you've been told. And so I called up the Alex Jones show. You all know, you listen to it daily. You can hear it here on Revere at 12 Eastern Time to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. And basically, because Alex knows the truth about everything, about the Satanism, about the religious deception, about the Bohemian Grove, the Skull and Bones, he knows more. He's more than just a journalist, you know. He's an all-around truth seeker for everything, and he is a self-proclaimed Christian. So, you know, I'm not a self-proclaimed Christian, but I used to be. So, you know, and Alex was part of the reason how I did wake up to become a Christian at that time a couple years ago. So, you know, it was just very, basically getting his opinion and his thoughts on this were important, because I feel like he was the reason I had found out about it in the first place. Even though I'd never heard him speak about it, he had told me all the truth before that about the Bohemian Grove and Skull and Bones, and he had exposed these certain things that I probably wouldn't have found out about ever if it wasn't for him. Definitely not the Bohemian Grove, because he's the one who went in there and got the footage. So, I mean, all this stuff really helped me to put the pieces together to the big, big deception. And then when I learned that there was even more, it's kind of shocking. Not saying that I leave it to Alex Jones, because we shouldn't be leaving it to anyone to find out this stuff. We should be going and researching it for ourselves. But I'm just saying that someone who says he's bringing us the truth in all things, but then doesn't present the entire truth for some things, it made me want to question it, because maybe I was seeing it the incorrect way. But let's just play the audio interview, and then we'll talk about what happened. But all right, well, first, if you've never even heard my show before and you didn't listen to the Christmas one, then you don't know what I'm talking about and you don't know my beliefs. Well, I do not promote or endorse any holidays, because I know that they're all created and based in pagan and occult and satanic customs and traditions. I did not know that all my life. I used to have an inkling, but I didn't really know, you know, I couldn't prove it. I didn't know that there was this thing called the internet where you could find out anything. You can find out everything that, you know, nothing can be a secret. You can find out anything. Even in old encyclopedias, but I don't know where you're going to find those. So the internet's the best resource we have for this, and you should all look it up yourself. But these holidays were created and based in these ancient traditions, and they're funded and backed by current new corporations. Why do you think they do this? Why do the corporations fund it and promote and try to endorse these things? It's because they make you fall prey to things like consumerism and throwing all your hard-earned money back at these same corporations who've tricked you into worshiping and doing these ancient things. So you get it? So why are we fueling their death machines by buying into it? And on top of that, the Bible strictly forbids you know, following in these customs and traditions, but that stuff we'll get into after this. Let's just listen to it and listen for these basic things. This is the reason why I called, because I wanted to get him to admit or confirm, not to admit, but just to confirm that, number one, Christmas is based on occultic, ancient pagan roots. Number two, that Santa Claus and things that are created to get kids into it were actually never part of the original, like, pagan, I guess, ritual, but it's a new thing that was created by corporations to make you consume more. And if there was a real Santa Claus, it wasn't a nice guy. It was like a murdering beast type thing. I talked about this on the show. You know, you take the N out of Santa and you take it from the middle and put it at the end. What do you get? You get Satan. And it's not a coincidence. And I wanted him to also confirm that December 25th is not the true birth of Christ or anyone. It's actually just a winter solstice, so therefore, all of these things put together, you put it together, and it's just sun worship. It's not any type of religious holiday, no type of, you know, nice time. It's just an ancient pagan sun worship holiday. So I called Alex, get his opinion, get his thoughts, and here it is. So listen for those things, because surprisingly, Alex admits all of these things, and all right, just listen. Again, this was this past Monday on the Alex Jones radio broadcast on GCN. Then we'll come back and talk about exactly what was said and why it's important and why we should really, really be asking these questions.
Let's just go to your calls. Jay in Mass disagrees. He goes to the front of the line. Jay, you're on the air worldwide. Go ahead. First caller of the new year for my broadcast. Go ahead.
Thanks. I hate to be the first caller disagreeing, but I think this is something so important that it really shouldn't be.
No, you're not the first caller that's disagreed to the show. I mean, you're the first caller on my show of the year.
Oh, okay. Well, to go back to something you said last week, well, a question. Do you confirm or deny that Christmas is based in pagan customs?
Well, it depends what facet of Christmas. Certainly the Tannenbaums and all that stuff is admittedly Germanic occultic stuff.
So then, therefore, do you think that it's something that we should be promoting or exposing for the same, to me, and I'm sure to many people, it's the same as the Bohemian Grove and the occult activities. This is the same type of pagan customs and rituals that they put into our everyday lives and deceived us into thinking that it's something pure and something...
Well, I mean, Christmas didn't get totally replaced with all that stuff till the 20s with a decade-long Coca-Cola promotion with the fat Saint Nick, you know, the big elf in the red outfit with the black belt and black boots. So, I mean, I think for a lot of people, they're not taking it as that. And, I'm not a Pharisee, man. I don't sit up here and claim to be holier than everyone, but I'm also confused. I mean, what are you, Christmas is over, and I'm here talking about, you know, what the New World Order is up to. So what do you disagree with? I mean, I'm not arguing with your point that a lot of what has replaced Christmas, the birth of Christ, is Germanic and European folklore. I mean, what do you disagree with?
Well, I think that's another part of the deception. He wasn't born on December 25th, so that's another part of the deception that
we're clearly all... it's the winter solstice.
Correct. Exactly. It's based on the solstice. So if we are just promoting that and saying that we should be celebrating Christmas and not really telling the people that it's part of the New World Order plan to get us to fall into these satanic pagan customs and then go in it to our regular ritual of life.
Well, sir, in the past, I've had Associated Press writers on, I've had professors on who were secular just to report on the history of it and to agree with you. Christmas was banned for about 100 years in England because of the rioting and murdering, and Santa Claus was like a satanic mascot like Freddy Krueger. He wore a striped suit, and he was like a horned monkey who, and I'm not saying this is real, folks, this is the folklore, who would run around murdering people, and so the murdering and burning of London went on so bad they banned it. I think it was like 70-plus years. And so, yes, sir, I know all about it, and so what's the point?
Well, the point is you give so much great information about Skull and Bones and the Bohemian Grove and all the other occult and satanic things.
Yeah, but those are people going to that, knowingly doing it, world leaders.
but they've deceived
us. I mean, I don't think you're going to go to hell, my friend, if you've got a, I mean, you know, it's the dark of winter. It's nice to have a nice smelling tree in your house. I understand the Bible even says, you know, don't go with those that worship under the trees. But if you're not worshiping under the tree and the intent isn't that it's something that's satanic, I mean, you know, my whole point is, sir, that, I don't know, man. There's all these preachers out there who will just constantly, you know, tell you how to live and tell you to do this and do that. I'm just here doing a news show. I mean, I don't know what you're saying you disagree with me about.
I'm just disagreeing in the whole point that Christmas isn't something that we should be promoting. And I heard last week, I tried to call in a bunch of times, I heard Christmas being promoted and looked at in a good light, holly jolly Christmas. And I know that's what most people have attached Christmas to, but we need to realize and see that...
You know, you don't know satire when you hear it. I was playing that and then talking about all the serious things that were going on in the world.
Well, maybe
so I... So now have a holly jolly Christmas is satanic.
I wouldn't say that. Maybe it is, and maybe we should look into that. And I know that there's listeners out there that do want to research that type of thing and do hear about that. And not, I know there's a lot of things going on. We've lost 3,000 dead Americans, and I haven't heard that barely on any news. And there is other things going on, but I think...
Well, you've heard all that here, brother.
But the religious deception also, I think in 2007, needs to be a greater focal point for everyone. And if people do want to get more into the religious deception, they can check out a broadcast over on the Revere Radio Network.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. We're out of time, man. I really appreciate it. All right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
And there is where I was cut off for... before I could plug Revere or their show or even say revereradio.net, but whatever. Hopefully someone out there heard Revere Radio Network and it sparked their interest. But Jack and I heard actually recently, maybe yesterday or the day before, that Jack, I didn't listen to it, but I heard Jack plugged Revere on a show. So, you know, those are good people. Good people. They're good comrades in this fight. You know, Alex has given plugs in the past to Revere. Heard him on Jack Blood Show. You hear I use it in an ad that I had made because, you know, I really respect and appreciate his opinion and his outlook on things. And for him to say that Revere is a, you know, really activist, great activist, you know, that's fact, you know. What he says is gold, at least I thought. Until this little conversation I had with him on Monday. And, alright, what was the first thing we said in this whole little conversation? The Tannenbaum. The very first thing he brings up. He says Tannenbaum, and he says that, you know, it's admitted that it's Germanic, occultic, you know, pagan. So, right off the bat, like, the very first thing, you know, I didn't want to be discussing this, but I really had to know. So very first thing, he admits, yes, it is Germanic, and especially things like the Tannenbaums, which is very interesting that he would bring that up. A lot of people probably don't even know what Tannenbaum is or means, but Tannenbaum, well, in the old ancient customs, it was a tree, an evergreen tree, very much like the what you know as the Christmas tree. And they loved this tree, this Tannenbaum. It was an evergreen, and the reason why, as I said in the last show, was because it was the dark of winter, it was cold, and it was symbolizing that the sun god was still alive, even though it was dark, even though it looked like the sun god was dead, it was still alive because the evergreen tree, the Tannenbaum, was still alive. That's why throughout the winter, the evergreen tree still stays green while the other ones are dying and withering away. So that was to symbolize the sun god still being alive. And this Tannenbaum, they even wrote a song about it. They even loved it so much. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, you know that song? We call it, Oh, Christmas Tree. But that same custom, same exact tree, same everything is from this pagan occultic, and Alex Jones admits it. So we admit right off that the Christmas tree is pagan. And from there, we discuss... Actually, the very first thing that happened was that I said, I hate to call and be, you know, the first one disagreeing, but I didn't mean like the first one who disagreed ever, but I didn't even bother like to explain that or whatever. So I just said, oh, okay. You know, like, cause whatever, it didn't matter at the time, but obviously I knew people had disagreed before. I just didn't, I felt kind of when he said that, it made me feel like being a real dick for being like calling and being the first caller of the year, disagreeing. So I don't know. I don't know if he said that to make me feel like a dick, because if he did, then it worked. And I tried to apologize, and I made myself seem like a dick. So, but whatever. You know what I should have said was, Alex, I'm the first person disagreeing and is going to be right. Because all the other people who call and disagree are complete morons, I've heard, and they're always wrong. But, you know, it's a fact. All these things are fact, and he admits them. Alex even admits every single fact. Like, alright, and next, he admits that Santa Claus, he said, you know, that Coca-Cola created the jolly Santa Claus image and everything like that. So that's a fact. And why did they do it? To get people to consume. If you were thinking that, oh, it's a nice thing, and this guy brings a presents, and now we can all buy presents and be Santas and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, it's the truth. But the truth of the matter is, as he does admit later, that Santa, the true origin of Santa, was this horrific, murdering, Satan-like character. So what your kids are getting excited for to come see them every year is Satan. Yay, Satan's coming. Yay, we're going to get Satan. Yay. But, I mean, if you're believing in this stuff, then I guess you might as well get your kids excited, because that's where you're leading them to hell, to be with Satan forever, for eternity. So I guess it's only appropriate that they should be excited for him every year. And after that, well, Alex, I mean, I wasn't trying to say that he's a holier than thou, and he says he's not a Pharisee or holier than anyone else, and try to, and you know, right on, man, neither is anyone else, neither am I, neither is anyone. However, at the very least, we have to attempt to uncover and expose the deception and the corruption at every level. And that was the point I was trying to make. Every opportunity, you know, it's a fact. Alex Jones knows the true origin of Christmas. He said it. He said, you know, I know all about it, so what's your point? And the point is, you know all about it, but you're not telling anyone. I think it's very important. It's important to me. It's important to other people who want to be knowing the truth and saying that, you know, you're following in these customs and you're promoting it as the birth of Christ, and you're doing it because you're a Christian, but really, you know for a fact that it's rooted in ancient pagan and occultic things. Why do you expose the Bohemian Grove and the Skull and Bones and those ancient occultic things, but not Christmas if it's the same exact thing? Maybe it's because he needs to sell those DVDs on Christmas, and you know, I understand this is a business. I mean, not for me. I don't get any money. I don't ask any money. I don't want any money. I only want the truth to be told to me and the truth to be told to everyone else. And I'm hoping that we can find a little bit of truth. And that's all this broadcast is really about. It's not trying to be holier than anyone or try to make you seem like you're some kind of bad Satanist because you celebrated Christmas this year. No, we're trying to move forward, not backward. And we're not trying to keep you in the same place. And I think that Alex Jones is misleading his listeners and letting them stay stagnant in the same place and buying into this deception of Christianity by not exposing where these customs and things truly come from. And he obviously knows. And I'm not asking for him to be a holy prophet or, you know, do anything. He's a truth seeker. We all are. And this is part of the truth. If not, you're only giving half the truth. And when are we to decide and determine and decipher when you're giving the whole truth and when you're only giving half the truth? And when, you know, is it because it benefits you in some way to not? Why are we following in this ancient satanic tradition? One that he even admitted, Alex admitted that it goes against the Bible. And I really can't understand the reasoning why anyone else who knows this thing will continue to promote it and endorse it. Anyone out there who knows, who's read Jeremiah chapter 10, I'm going to play that whole thing. Alex kind of paraphrased it. He didn't get it exactly right. I did go over it in detail in the show a couple weeks ago I did about Christmas, but we can go over it slightly again tonight, just a little bit. But I mean, yeah, the next thing that we discussed a little bit was Alex tried to say that Christmas was the birth of Christ when I confronted and said, you know, no, that's not true. You know, he wasn't born. He immediately knew the truth, which is what I said in the last show. December 25th really is just the winter solstice. Why is it the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year? Because it's the day that the sun is the least invisible, the sun is least visible to the people on Earth. Therefore, it's darker. Therefore, people said the sun was dying, which is why they celebrated at the winter solstice. It's back to pagan sun worship. That's all it goes back to, and he admits it. He doesn't even deny it. So why? Someone has got to explain this to me. Someone, please. You can come on the show, and I'll give you 5 minutes, just like Alex gave me 5 minutes to speak my case. You give me a reason why you still continue with these traditions and why you think it's appropriate, even though we know for a fact it's based in pagan and occultic customs and traditions, and for fact number two, that it's forbidden by the Bible. So where out of these two things do you think it's, oh, that's cool. No, that's cool. Not, yeah, fine. Go ahead. Do it. All right. And where my other reason for this is, if Alex truly wanted to defeat the New World Order and their entire agenda, wouldn't he want to expose all of the tactics that they use? And by getting us into these traditions and not knowing about it, getting us through these daily... I know there's many daily rituals that we're going through that go against the Bible that you don't even know. For example, pledging allegiance to the flag. That goes against the Ten Commandments. You don't know that because you don't know the Ten Commandments and what it's really saying. Make no carven image to thee, and do not bow down, worship, or serve this image. The flag is a carved image. It's got an image of stars. It's got an image of what it said is blood, other things. When you are pledging allegiance to that flag, you're doing just what the Ten Commandments says not to do. You don't know that because you don't even think of it in that condition. Because you haven't been told these things. This hasn't been explained to you. But it's a fact. And if you're buying into these holiday things, then you're buying into the corporations that are making you thrive to be a consumer and buy and spend till nothing is left. And then you force yourself to do horrible things. I read in the paper around Christmas time, people were getting arrested with their little kids, having them steal with them and doing shit. Why? Because they feel the need. They feel compelled to go into the store and get as much as they can because that's what the TV has told them to do. And why would you promote such disgustingness? That's horrible. That's absolutely terrible, and that makes kids grow up being completely, completely materialized, material-possessed fools, basically. And why would they want to do that? Why do they need you to do that? Because Satan's number one plan is to get you as far away from everything that's written in the book. So by coveting your neighbor's everything, because that's what it is, that's another commandment, do not covet your neighbor's anything. So if you say, oh, but he has an iPod and I don't, I gotta go get an iPod now, but I gotta go steal it, it's Christmas, I gotta get that, he has a better this than me. You're coveting your neighbor's possessions. Everything that this culture and that this country stands for is directly against the Bible, and I think it was set up exactly that way. This is like Sodom and Gomorrah, but worse. This is the worst. People say this is the best land that ever lived. No, this is the worst when it comes to the truth. And the New World Order, Satan's right-hand man. The New World Order would not be able to thrive without doing his bidding. And as long as you are following in these ancient rituals, customs, and traditions, that's who you will be following in the footsteps of. And that's what we want to look towards for 2007, is coming out of all these things. This is the beast system, guaranteed to a T. I've read the Bible, I've studied it. No other thing comes close to what's written in there to the time period we're living in right now. Alright, what else? Yeah, and Alex thinks that the Bohemian Grove and Skull and Bones are different from what goes on at Christmas, but they're the exact same thing. And why? Because, alright, they're both satanic pagan rituals and their customs, which are talked about explicitly in the Bible. That's bottom line. Jeremiah 10 talks about the whole tree custom, and it also talks about in the, I believe, Numbers. Well, that's something, maybe I should look that up. But it discusses about the burning sacrifice to Molech in many places. I mean, you can look it up yourself. I don't have to tell you where it's at. Go look it up. It says it. Fact. So that Bohemian Grove, what they're doing there is very ancient, just like Christmas, because they're both talked about in the Bible. So if it's explicitly talked about in there, then shouldn't we be going away from those? That shouldn't be something that we're a part of, because that's satanic, right? But he says, you know, no, but those people are going to those. But the Christmas cult, instead of everyone meeting at one designated location, you each have your own little, you know, cremation of care ritual under your own tree in your own comfort of your own living room, opening up your gifts and doing your whatever things. It's the same thing, man. It's the same thing. And you got to start seeing it as such. That's why it's even in the Bible, dude. And I don't, you know, it kind of just weirds me out. I'm sorry. Just one of those things. Sometimes this stuff is just so spooky and weird to me that it gives me a feeling that I can't even, sometimes my voice goes and I start to feel, it's crazy. Yeah. All right, let's just listen to Jeremiah chapter 10.
Chapter 10. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workman, and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God, he is the living God, and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt, my wound is grievous, but I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent any more, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate.
All right, some of you out there listening right now are thinking, why is he going over this? You're just like Alex, like, it's past Christmas. What is he talking about? Why? Because you don't get the severity, just like Alex. You both don't understand the severity of this. And I think 2007 for you, although it's not truly a new year, because the true new year begins when the new plants start to bloom and the springtime comes around. That's when the new life of the earth actually begins. But people call this the new year because this is when the new sun starts to get brighter. So this is the really rebirth of the sun. But who cares about the sun? That's nothing. That sun worship is what it is. And that's what we need to realize. The bigger picture, seeing how this all ties into the bigger picture, that should be your goal for 2007. And that's why I spent an hour on this 5-minute conversation that I had with Alex Jones, because he is like the spokesperson for all of you. I can tell by listening to your shows that he's been a big influence on your life. He's been a big influence on all of our lives, I'm sure. Because I know without knowing the stuff about the Bohemian Grove and everything, I wouldn't have been able to put that other piece of that other Bible, the other piece of that puzzle together about the Bible and how that worshiping of Moloch and things. So both of these things are written in. So why are you continuing in this? It's no different. You are still a part of their skull and bones, of their Bohemian Grove, because you follow in their traditions. So you can say you're fighting them and you're against them all you want, but really you're on the same team. You're just another one. You're the same side of a different, same coin. Not too different. Nothing too new. It's not as new as you wish. But at the beginning of that verse, it's very simple. I don't even have to explain it, but I wanted to play the entire thing because I hope that you are paying attention and reading along. You can find the Bible anywhere you go on the net and go look up the scriptures and see what's going on. And you can easily find out that it says, the Lord, their strength in his name. Well, the name isn't the Lord. You should know this. What was originally in the place in any Bible that has been retranslated now, you see, the Lord in caps, or not in caps. Sometimes Lord is just caps. Sometimes it just says Lord. But the fact of the matter is, it never said Lord. It said his actual name, the name that he gave to Moses and to Isaac and to Jacob and to Abraham and to all the prophets. They all called him this name. And you call him the Lord, and you think that you have a relationship with him. You call him the Lord, and you do satanic rituals. Oh, okay, I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure you'll be fine, you'll be fine. Alex Jones says you're not going to hell. He says you're not going to hell for just a tree. That's his words, not mine. But I know somebody else, I'm not comparing him to this, but it's just something to think about. Someone else who told you that, you know, Adam and Eve, come on, there's nothing wrong with that tree. There's nothing wrong with eating from that tree. It's cool. Tree, no big deal. Trees are no big deal, apparently. But apparently the Bible says that they are, and I believe the person who inspired those writings, because those writings are dead on. There's no way that people could have guessed all those things that are happening now. There's no way. It's just, there's some of the stuff in there so complex that back then those people wouldn't have known that there were mountains at the bottom of the sea. They didn't know that there was underwater exploration and things like, there's so many things written in the Bible that you don't even get the time period of when it was written and when things like that were known to man. Like the world being round. That is even mentioned in the Bible, and that's thousands of years before. People thought the earth was flat, and that's because they couldn't even understand the concept that the Bible, the things that were written, it was so eloquent that your average person couldn't understand it, and that's what they kept as to their advantage all these years. They knew that you weren't intelligent enough to understand it, so you could never see what it was really saying. All you had to do was go and believe in Jesus Christ, worship your Christmas Saturnalia tree, and you'll be saved and you'll go to heaven. And that's why the Bible says that many shall be deceived. It didn't say a couple, it didn't say a few, it didn't say a handful. It said many. And that's why there are billions upon billions that have been deceived throughout the history of the world. Are you going to be one of the many that continues being deceived in this next year? That's what you need to consider. And with that, I don't know if there's much more that needs to be said. Actually, yes, there's lots more. I am going to have a guest shortly in the second hour, but there's some other things that I must say. But on second thought, I think I'm going to say them after a song. Let's go to the song right now. I think I need a break. You're listening to Save Your Generation on the Revere Radio Network. It's Friday, January 5th. I tired myself out. This is, it's not easy giving these types of talk. I feel like I get a little too emotional with some things because this is so huge. You've got to see that this is how they keep the controls on us, by tricking us into doing these things, following into their rituals. This is how they keep us as slaves. And emancipating yourself from this mental slavery, from the sleep state that we've all been in, begins with this. So please realize why I'm spending so much time on this.
You're listening to Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech and the number one activist site on the internet, revereradio.net. Step into our world.
They get a terror storm alone because they're afraid of it. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. And I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. Revere Radio. Revere Radio. We'll be right back.
exactly right. God is the only way to love, and he is the only way to truth as well. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that ain't no lie. And that was Black Sabbath with After Forever. And where will you be after forever? That's what we're discussing tonight on Save Your Generation. It's something you need to consider. More than 2007, more than 2008, after forever, where will you be? What will you do? What's going on with you? And great album, Master of Reality. Best 1-2 combination song, I think, of any album of all time. It's a great record. Alright, before I bring on the guest, I just wanted to say one last thing about the whole New Year's, about the whole Christmas and everything, is that we need to realize that the reason for these holidays are to pay worship to Satan, if we want to get down to it. You can say it's the sun, you can say it's a tree, you can say it's the winter solstice, you can say it's pagan, occultic, whatever, but the bottom line is, the underlying, the one who's truly being worshipped is Satan in this, not the true creator. Bottom line. And, you know, it's a fact that our lives will get tried and things will come out at us and things that we won't understand, but we need to understand that even if in the past you've done these things, it's never too late to turn away and stop doing them. Even if your entire life you've been in these customs, which are admittedly, even admitted by your own hero, Alex Jones, that these are pagan and occultic customs, but he doesn't think you're going to go to hell if you do them. But why are you doing them in the first place? You know, even if you're not going to go to hell, the fact that they're on the same par as the Bohemian Grove and what they do, even though you're not burning someone in sacrifice, you know, having a tree might be the equivalent in the eyes of the Creator, and that's why he took the time to mention them both in the Bible. He didn't just throw it in. He doesn't need to waste room. He doesn't, you know, let me just throw this in here to take up some space. I got a filler. That's just some filler. No, dude, it all matters, and it all needs to be taken seriously. And, you know, New Year, they say this is a new year, but it's not. And what you should look into as living every single day as a new day, because you should be happy that you were able to wake up. Simple. It's not like crazy out of this world thoughts, but all right, I'm going to save all this for another day. I have so much more that I just want to blab about, but I really want to have my guest on right now. So let's listen to one more song, and then we're going to have on Josh Chambers. Head on over to revereradio.net and give us a donation if you like what you heard tonight, or if you're just hanging on to hear what's next. Either way, this is listener-sponsored radio. This is all because of you guys. Thanks.
You are listening
to Save Your Generation. You are listening to Save Your Generation. Friday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ReverRadio.net. Biatch.
All right, welcome back to Save Your Generation. You just heard Nine Inch Nails with Heresy. That one goes out to all of those Christians out there and to specifically the Roman Catholic Church who created the whole Jesus thing. And your God is dead, sorry. But I'm on the phone with someone who is very much alive and very much awake, Mr. Josh Chambers from, well, I think you already know him. He needs no introduction. He is going to be soon a... A very gushing introduction. Oh, he is an absolutely fabulous thinker. He is one of the elite. All right. But, all right, I just want to ask you. I'm so happy. I'm so thankful that you've decided to come on again. If anybody missed the first time he was on, you guys are fools and should check in the archives over at ReverRadio.net. It was enlightening, as I'm sure this will be. And I want to know, Josh, first, right off, I know you heard the Alex Jones interview. What do you think of it? And, you know, just give me the lowdown. Was I out of line? I kind of felt that he was making it seem like I was, like I was saying, what's the point, saying like I had no kind of basis, but I'm just confused. I want someone else's opinion and thought who's looking on the outside in. Yeah, that's my number one thing, and that's all I say, is that he is, the information that he provides is undeniable, and it's, you know, second to none. You just can't beat his info. But then you look at the religious side, who he claims to be, somebody who's looking for the truth, is a Christian, is whatever, you know. You think that he would be a little more outspoken in these subject matters, but the fact that he's not makes me think that he is just a journalist, and he's a Christian in the sense that, you know, George Bush is, where he says it's a Christian because he knows it's kind of like a bargaining chip or like a selling point to his, to whatever he wants to get bought, you know, and yeah, so he, and you know, I didn't really think of it the way what you had said, you know, if you're following the New World Order, but with good intent, you know, that's a great way of looking at it. I didn't even consider that, you know. The road, the path to hell, as they say, is paved with good intentions. So while you might think you're doing good in one aspect, you're really doing bad, and you're doing something completely that's going against what your ultimate intent was. So therefore, you're defeating the purpose. So it is no good intention. You know, people say that they're doing good, it's good intentions of the 700,000 people killed in Iraq right now. Good intent all you want. There's nothing good happening. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Now thou shalt not kill unless it's with the best of intention of helping the Iraqi people. You know, it doesn't go both ways. You can't try to contort, or you're just going to lose out. But where are you at spiritually, personally? Because we haven't really discussed that too much, but I would like to know, you know, I myself, I'm sure you know, do not believe in religion, but I do have a deep spiritual I do believe that there is a creator, because I think that the earth and this world is way too complex for there not to have been created someone with a design in mind. You know, it wasn't just randomly, but give me what you think.
Okay, I don't know if this is a simple, truthful answer, but my theory at the moment, and I'll start that with a little background. I was born Southern Baptist, didn't really practice, believed a little bit, saw the hypocrisy in the people in the church at a younger age, and at that point I rejected religion, God, and spirituality, which I naively considered to be the same thing. And from that point on, I was a hateful atheist who just dove into music. Music became my God. And that happened for about a decade. And it's pretty, you know, if you don't have a spiritual side, it'll really start to wear on you. So I was driving around maybe 3 or 4 years ago in my small southern town of Rome, Georgia, and I saw a church sign, one of the many, that said, "Is your faith in man or in God?" And I thought instantly, well, I'm sure not in man. So there has to be a creator. There has to be a force greater than man in this universe. Whether it's aliens, whether it's angels and demons, interdimensional reptiles, or if it's forces that we can't comprehend, whatever it is, something exists. We have to believe in something bigger than ourselves, because we're foolish if we believe otherwise. We turn our ego into God, and that's always going to come crashing down. So spiritually at the moment, I know that there is a spiritual element within us all. I believe that looking inside yourself is the only way to find it, and I know you agree on that one.
Introspection is the number one.
Institutional spirituality is about as entertaining as Avril Lavigne and Bryan Adams, okay? It's the same thing. It's standardized beliefs. And I've always been one for looking behind the curtain. So I'm still looking. And I know that you believe heavily in the Bible, and I find that interesting, because I always rejected the Bible because, number one, my culture around here is pretty ignorant, and they use the Bible, so I never had someone with intellect explain the Bible to me. So I've been listening to you. So I believe there's truth in all philosophies.
Well, you know,
I also believe there's truth in the Luciferian philosophy as well.
Well, I agree that the truth that the Luciferians provide, however, is based on the same biblical aspects, but they use it for their own. And I think that anybody, whether it's, you know, those guys like Joel Osteen or those people who write those books like, you know, Have a Great Life, things like that, those self-help books, but, you know, they use that slant of it being in the guise of being for God or being, you know, for a creator. But, you know, truthfully...
in the occult world that you can summon powers from other beings, other demons, whatever you want to call them, just other beings outside of this dimension?
Absolutely, 100%. I know that because...
Is there a way to call beings of the positive, of the light? We'll see the light. Where is it? Are there good beings? Are there good agents out there?
I absolutely think so. I think that there are all types of spirits, and sometimes it's bad spirits, sometimes it's good spirits, but the only way to know is by testing all spirits, every spirit. And people can feel spirits, and I know I've felt them, and you can too. It takes meditation, it takes a true heart. You have to, these people who are summoning the dark spirits have a true heart to truly believe it and truly believe in darkness. And that's why they are able to conjure these dark spirits. But to have a true spirit in the opposite...
Is there technology that's producing this in our mere beliefs, or is there something outside objectively that we're tapping into?
Well, it's the blanket. We are all one. Things that are outside of us are actually inside...
That's Luciferian, man.
I think it's only Luciferian because the Luciferians stole that, though. Because... That's what the Bible actually teaches, that we are all one, and that's why you love your neighbor as yourself, because your neighbor is actually you. We are all one. We are all one.
We are one. It's just the truth that both sides are using.
Exactly, and that's what every side, every other religion, every other foundation is based on what is taught in the Bible, but the people don't know the Bible well enough to know where each thing comes from. They only know what they are taught every day when they, or every Sunday when they decide to go and make it in on time and do your hair and dress up real nice, even though the Bible says, come as you are. No matter what you look like, how you dress, how much money you got, whatever, it doesn't matter, but it's turned into just another fashion show, club type of gathering that has no real bearing on your life. It isn't something that can truly touch you. Well, that's not true. I'm not gonna lie, because I have before. The reason why I decided to study the Bible was because I was raised in a Baptist church as well. I thought that the earth was too complex for there not to be a creator, but I didn't think that Christianity and what they were telling me and all this stuff was true, so I wanted to read the Bible and be completely sure of what it said for myself. And as I did that, I started to see that everything that the pastors and people were teaching weren't actually what was being told. And I started to understand it for myself and meditate on the words instead of, you know, understanding it as someone had told me. I tried to find the understanding for myself, and that's when you get the bigger picture. You start seeing it as a whole complete thing, not just a couple slapped together pages of, you know, good one-liners to use, like as people do John 3:16, and try to throw out, you know, these quotes, whatever, but they don't know truthfully what the breadth of the Bible says. And I think that's the first step. And either you're gonna,
on a spiritual level, where does astral projection get into this mold in your opinion? Is it real? Because I mean, I've been trying to discover that.
I don't know. Well, firstly, I don't understand the question, I should be honest, completely. Are you saying projection, like,
is where your consciousness leaves your body and it goes to the astral plane, which is another dimension where you can tap into the collective unconscious? It's where we go in our dreams. It's that source where we leave our body and experience the other world. So I'm just figuring in this multi-dimensional universe with spirituality, humans, all the in-between. I was just curious about astral projection.
Well, I can't really say for certain. I can say that I have experienced something similar to that when I was in a coma after my car accident in 2001. I was in a coma for, like, I don't know, about a week. And during that time, I had the most, I didn't know that they were dreams. I thought there were things that I were truly experiencing. Like, I was in this place that it was complete. Everything was made out of, like, crystal, like an entire crystal house. And I was inside of it, and there were people there with me, and it was kind of like a party almost. We were all together, and people I knew were there, and I was asking for other people that I had known, and they weren't there. And that was strange. And I was like, okay, so how come he's not here, but this person's here? And because it was like, you know, the same type of people. What was that? Well, that's what I experienced, and that, you know, it was the number one thing out of the time, you know. And I, after I came to and, you know, knew what was happening, I remember I was only 19 at the time, but I was in the trauma unit still, and, you know, my parents were talking to me, and I was saying, all right, so where's my cell phone, or something to that effect, you know, something that I'd experienced while I was in this state. And they said, what, you don't have your phone? It was smashed in the accident. I was like, no, I don't. I have it. I just, you know, everything that I just experienced, I thought I actually had lived. I didn't even know where I'd been for the last 7 days that I was in a hospital room the entire time. So, you know, I definitely can't discount and say things like that don't exist. I don't know what to call it, but it's definitely.
So it exists. Well, here's the take that just popped to mind from what you said. I can't remember the author of the book, but the idea is that at death, our consciousness, the me and you that are talking right now, that deals with daily life, it reincarnates into other beings. And your subconscious, which is where 90% of all of you exists outside of your perception, this will be your heaven or your hell. This is your eternal resting place. So the place you experience is that eternal resting place. That's why you can call friends, because that's what you desired at that moment, even if you didn't consciously know that. That's why it happened. Everything that happens is brought on by the subconscious. So it's interesting that you've already visited your resting place, your eternal, everlasting.
That's so unbelievable, and I've, you know, I haven't even told many people about this. I remember I told my parents after it happened and whatever, but, Josh, I'm so, that's pretty incredible. I didn't understand what was that, you know, to have a dream, something like that, so vivid, and, you know, I can completely remember, it was 5 years ago, and I still remember to this day, like, what it looked like, what it felt like, what the experience was, and to know that, you know, it is a fact that when you're in these altered states, you aren't any deader, you aren't a vegetable, you aren't in a coma. These people like, what was her name, who they killed, like, she wasn't any type, but she was probably just in that astral plane the entire time, living in some state of mind that she was loving life, not hating it, and they killed her. And
yeah,
that's what's so
scary. But at the same time, if they killed her, then she went permanently to that place, and her body was put to rest. If the body's not being used, the theory is, you know, you don't need the body to be there. I kind of like that idea.
That's a good point.
Even if it's silly and make-believe, it's helpful. I like it.
Hey, I'm there with you on that, and that's a great point, because it is kind of, you know, something they call the secret, that if you think good thoughts, good things will come to you, if you just clear your mind of all negativity and whatever. And basically, our body, everything, our creator, all he is energy. And if we are giving off this negative energy all the time, then negative things, you know, are coming. But if you're positive, it's more in depth than just gotta think positive. You have to believe positive, and you have to actually be a positive person. And I think in order to be not successful in life, but successful in getting the things you want.
However, there's an opposing side to that I just became aware of. The New Age is pushing the positive thinking to your beliefs change the world. And, you know, and I do believe that right now. However, the idea that pushing the negative thoughts away is good sounds suspicious, because if you're not dealing with the negative elements in your life, you're storing them away, and they'll eventually come back 100-fold. So I don't know where the line is between positive thinking and being a realist too. You can't run away from the negativity.
Well, you know what I do with all my negative? This is what I do, and this is what I've learned is the best thing to do, honestly, is that anything negative, I just give it up to Yahweh. I do. I just give it to the Creator, and I say, you tell me, you explain to me what to make of all this negative stuff, what to make of this tragedy, what to make of this something that is bad, and he will turn it around, and you'll see the good in it, and you'll see what was to be learned from this. And there's nothing that's ever happened that cannot be changed for something good. Even the murdering of the Messiah, probably the worst thing, is something good, because without it, none of us can be saved, and none of us are worthy of being to where that level that people are trying to achieve on Earth, but it can only be achieved after. And that's what he's got in store, and it's not something that anybody can even comprehend or really explain. And, you know, just calling it heaven is something that is, I think, has now been downplayed so much and overused that it's got to be more than that. It's something that is indescribable, and that's the gift of ultimate energy, complete, total, you know, life, true life. Like, we are life, but we are life contained in a shell of a life. So he's going to let us experience true life, because he is life.
And you know, on the other side of that, science is telling us that nothing happens. That the energy that animates our body simply goes back into the energy of the universe with the identity that we have created in this life, dying forever. And it's human vanity, this illusion of grandeur that creates this eternal life, because they can't imagine the universe without their ego and identity. So, you know, there's so many angles, and I'm just becoming aware of each one of them, because they're all placed out for us to find. It's interesting that they all seem to contradict, yet go together, and I think it's part of just the myriad of confusion they lay upon us, the profane, the peasants, to keep us going in circles, because what we've discovered in this little talk is that the Bible and the Judeo-Christian beliefs and the Luciferian beliefs go hand in hand, and yet they contradict. So it seems like it's too well placed to do such a thing. So for us to talk in the paradigm of Luciferian and Christianity or the Bible is really just part of their matrix. And what we can only talk about is my day-to-day and my observations of today, as opposed to your observations of your day. That's the only truth.
Well, we're all experiencing the same exact thing, just, you know, I guess perceiving it differently, because some people think that the Bible and things are completely wrong, but then they believe in another thing, whether it be Luciferian or anything else, but it's the same exact concepts, but they're so anti-Bible that they can't even begin to, you know, open it up and read in the beginning. Those three words to them, they can't even fathom, but, you know...
I agree that there's truth laid in all of them, and that's why the contradictions and confusion take place, because there's truth everywhere. But they do it in such a sophisticated way that keeps us running in circles, but we're running in their circles. Just think about it in music terms. Yes, there's rap, yes, there's rock, country, all the main genres, and then inside those genres, there's genres of genres. And then the peasant just sort of takes his taste, takes his truth from each source. But there is a truth outside of those genres, and that's just the pure musical form, the unlabeled musical form that, say, I exist in. Right? I don't label my music anything, because it's not like anything. It's just my own unique creation. And I think spirituality, to a major extent, is the same thing, our own unique creation.
At times, I agree. Like, I remember when I was first researching this and finding out all about the Jesus Christ deception and the Roman Catholic Church, so I was thinking, well, I'm going to be the first one to just say, well, I don't take any, you know, religion or anything like that, but I just believe that there's the Creator and He saved Moses and, you know, all the other facts. But then you go to think that there's nothing new under the sun anywhere. So I think that everything goes back to something. You just gotta be able to search far back enough to find out what the origin is. You know, even things like saying goodbye or something like that to someone has an origin somewhere, and you just gotta find the origin, or at least be aware of it. Even if it's important. Maybe the origin's not important for everything.
I'm sorry. You said something new, or nothing new, rather. And actually, there is something new. Our interpretations are always new. Hopefully, if you're a free-thinking individual, your interpretation of the infinite possibilities in the universe will always be unique and new. It's the combination of the elements of the universe that is the true art. You can't make a new element, at least I'm not sophisticated enough to understand how you would make a new element into the universe, but perhaps it is possible. Perhaps we know everything, perhaps we know nothing.
Josh, I really need to have you as like my co-host or something, because the two of us... I love to talk to you because you really bring out things that I would have never thought of, and it really makes you think in a different way. And even if everyone out there doesn't agree with what either one of us are saying, you've got... they've got to at least appreciate hearing a different point of view from anything that they probably are used to hearing, anybody out there. And
it's just like the popcorn kid who doesn't listen to anything except for pop punk, and I'm talking about me 6 or 7 years ago. Just like this one genre, and anything outside of that genre is the enemy. And that's the mentality we're all in. We get our little closet of interest. It makes us feel secure. It gives us an identity right there that tells you everything. So we're taking this, all this spiritual, political, musical, movie, fiction, identities that are given to us, and as they're like their clothes from a closet, just putting them together and thinking that's life, that's existence. But actually, that's not. That's the system. That's their thought control. Really, if you just break down your identity and realize how truly profound the now is, the moment that we all ignore, and we all live in our heads, our confusion, and these labyrinths of theories, which are wonderful. I love them. It's like a drug. I love them. It may not be good for me, but I love them. But the true source of truth can never be conveyed through word. It can only be experienced itself. And that, you've said that before, in other words. And I think we're on the same page with that one. And that's the important. The details, the interpretation, it's just our unique spin. Our understanding of our experiences in life blooming in a certain way. And what you do is you share those interpretations.
Exactly.
You continue to grow.
That's
what it's about. It's not about finding a resting place. It's about continual growth.
Exactly. The Bible says it's he who endures to the end. All of these people are looking for a destination. They're looking to just have someone tell them their interpretation, or not even have someone tell them, just hear whatever your father's interpretation was. Okay, that'll be good enough for me. You don't ever think about going and reading it and interpreting anything for yourself. Or you just say, oh, well, whatever Alex Jones says, that's good enough for me. I won't bother to interpret or read anything for my own self. But, we are obviously two people who are not like that, and we're going to go to a song right now. I don't have any songs lined up, but I'm sure I can think of something. Do you have any requests? Maybe I can get a request in. This is the request line on Save Your Generation Requests. This is DJ...
Beethoven.
Okay, now that was one. Ludwig von, I do not have.
Mozart.
I don't have any
classical...
This isn't the Jeff Rentz show, okay? So you can keep your Chopin and all those. I mean, I got Beach Boys. That's about it.
Dead Kennedys.
You want the Dead Kennedys? All right, that's what we're gonna listen to. Maybe we'll play something since we're gonna when we come back. Why don't we talk a little bit about the current events that's been going on? Maybe I'll play something for like the war and what's going on, since there is people dying and. You know, that is important, but I think number one, what's first important is finding out what's going on inside yourself. All right, we're going to come back after this Dead Kennedy song here on Save Your Generation.
We don't let all this celebrity news fool you right now. All this stuff going on in the news is just a trick to get your mind off the war.
War is coming back in style. The general killing by stand, and the rest is killing everywhere. And just one killing out of red, he make more problems from the moment ahead. The economy is looking bad, it's not another war.
What do you got, Johnson?
Passed by the racist hatred, we want total war.
What do you got, Johnson?
Romans make their panic buttons, then with missiles like their toys. Easy money, easy job, especially when you feel the boss. That's moving cities off the map. Just get two problems when we build them back up. Now what's big business, what's big business? Get to what's a war.
What do you got, Johnson?
Lateral commission through these lands and steep from
war. What do you got, Johnson?
Call the army, call the navy, stop the kids from
fighting. What do you got, Johnson?
If you can't afford a slick attorney, we might make you a spy.
You ain't the first son of a bitch to wake up out of their dream.
Revere Radio.
Alright, welcome back to Save Your Generation on the Revere Radio Network. You just heard Dead Kennedys, When You Get Drafted. Now, Josh, I gotta ask you, what are you gonna do when you get drafted? Because you know they're gonna reinstate the draft, and you're an able-bodied male, so that means you're gonna go. I won't, because I'm a cripple, so I won't be going. But my brother will, and my brother-in-law will, and probably all my friends will. I got one friend there already, but how do you feel about it? And are you worried that you're gonna get drafted?
No, because I won't go. I'll go to jail. I'll go to my grave. I will not serve the military-industrial complex. I'll at first try to plead conscientious objector. If that doesn't work, then I'm just going to Canada.
Hey, there's a lot of them out there doing that. There's a website I saw, I think it's conscientiousobjector.net or something like that, but it's a bunch of people like that, and, you know, it's a, you know, you don't hear about it in the news, but there are some people with a conscience, and they say, hey, we're not killing these people for no reason anymore, we don't want to be a part of it. But, surprisingly, there are even more people, those universal soldiers, who just go right along with it. But
interesting that I heard on the Alex Jones show the other night. That really kind of made the hairs in the back of my neck stand up. He said that there's 5,000 special forces Iraqis trained by American military scattered throughout all the major cities in America, waiting for the word to bring down each city and region. And Alex Jones said they could do it in an hour. He also mentioned that people, and I'm sure many of the listeners that heard that show already heard this, but that this is something that you could get killed over. That was the first I heard of it, and that's pretty serious stuff right there.
I didn't hear that, but that's some pretty good info. I mean, I must have missed that episode, but wow. I mean, I don't doubt it, basically, because they're capable of, this is the evil empire. This is the Roman Empire on mega ultra steroids, more than anybody could ever achieve. This is Babylon the Great. This is the beast. This is all of it. But,
and we're in the gutter.
We are. I mean, the Bible says in this one part, it says, even where you sleep is in the gut belly of the beast, or something to that effect. Man, I'm really off on my verses tonight. Just goes to show I'm not studying enough. I mean, usually I can pick these up, I can pick it out, know it like the back of your hand, because the people who try to control you with the Bible, if you know it better than them, then they won't be able to lie and to be able to deceive you with what it says. And that's what I think happens to a lot of people when they grow up. They're told that certain things are the certain way in the Bible, and you should do this because that's what the Bible says. No one ever doubts and questions it, and that's what I think we need to move towards in 2007. But let's take a look back at 2006 just for a moment, and I want to ask you, what was your favorite website of 2006? What's your favorite, I would say, researcher, someone that you just heard about? What was the big news that you think, what really was the breakout stories of 2006, to steal the, a little question from the other shows here?
Well, I certainly don't know too much of the article names and dates and where they came from, because that's not really my area, but I would say the best website is tiredofbeingalive.com. That's tiredofbeingalive.com.
I'd say you're lying.
My researcher is Alan White from Canada. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. I've mentioned him before on the last show.
CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's
and last but not least, I believe your other question was current event. I think the execution of Saddam was rather interesting. Nice world propaganda that has many layers of meaning. And we could dive into that area if you'd like.
Yeah, I would love to, because I see the Saddam hanging way different than anyone else does. The way I see it that they used it to distract from the fact that there were 3,000 dead soldiers. And once they got everybody not thinking about the soldiers, everybody was thinking about Saddam. It was like a rallying cry, almost. But
it was the two-minute hate, brother. 1984, the two-minute hate. Get all the people to project all their inner turmoil on themselves that's produced by the system which they are slaves to, and they project it to a common enemy, and everybody hoots and hollers and feels real good because we got the motherfucker. But really, the misery's still there because the misery's not in the common enemy. It's in your inner turmoil produced by the same institution which we suck the gunk of.
All right, Josh, I'm sorry about that little interruption we just had there in the middle of that.
Not a problem at all.
I want to ask...
You're little magical creatures.
Yes, they certainly are. They most certainly are. They are like little elves. But what I want to ask you...
You used such lewd language right before. I hope that didn't wake the baby up.
No, it didn't wake him up. He's always awake. He's always ready. He's a little rascal. But all right, on a different subject, totally change to something else. Tell me what your favorite record of 2006 was.
I'd have to say the Beatles. Beatles Let It Be, Abbey Road, White Album, Revolver, Sgt. Pepper, and the Anthologies. Those are my favorite 2006 records.
Alright, did you listen to any music that came out in 2006?
I don't think so.
You know, there had been years and past years that I could say the same, that I didn't listen to anything at all that came out in this year, but there was one thing.
What'd you get?
Well, I'm not even gonna go there, because it makes me seem lame, but...
No, please.
Heavens?
Musical taste does not make you who you are. You can like the Bee Gees for all I care.
No, I mean, it isn't anything too lame. They were a past guest. The Some Girls record, Heaven's Pregnant Teens, that just came out this year.
What'd they get? Distribution in Barnes & Noble? They sell out now? Can't like them anymore?
No, not at all.
They got distribution in Barnes & Noble, so if you got beef, bring it on over here.
Well, you know, Alex Jones gets distribution in there, so, you know, you always got to think, who are funding these things?
CNN and celebrity talk shows. That gives them away.
Yeah, I totally lost focus, and I'm sorry to everyone listening out there, and it's cool.
It's good. It shows how our attention spans have been massacred by the New World Order.
Yeah, well, that's... Speaking of babies, you know, I heard that one of the things, the reasons why there's an increase in things like ADHD and ADD and kids' short attention spans are because of the toys that they have. And all the flashing and moving and all the things at the same time causes that, because during this infantile state, their brains are just starting to put those wires and things connecting them together. And if you're connecting them in a weird type of wiring with, you know, like epileptic flashes happening and things, it's what causes the kids to be in this way. And, you know, we think that we're moving forward in this technological state. We think things, you know, technology is good, but, you know, biotech is Godzilla, as the song said, you know, it is the destroyer. The microchip is not good, even though it's under the guise and it sounds like a good deal. You know, all of this technology we have, we've used it for the wrong things. And
well,
I think...
with the children, not just the toys, you gotta look at the cartoons. And the children's advertisement. It's a very sophisticated billion-dollar industry designed to show, make the children remove them from the morals that their parents might try to give them. That's the main motivation.
Well, the main motivation, as all things, whether you're from the cradle to the grave, is to get you to consume. And why? You know, it all goes back to slavery, and, you know, that's going to get too complex for people to realize, but that's how they make you a slave, by making you consume, by making you think you need things, therefore you work for them to possess these things, but you really don't need to at all. And let's talk about that.
If you buy into a national holiday, if you buy into national heroes and propaganda and corporations' logos, then you're already brainwashed. Forget about it. Don't kid yourself. If you let that come in you at any angle, they've got you to a certain extent. And the only way to break it off is to eradicate the big boys, their entertainment, and all of their control mechanisms, their conduits and control.
Well, let's talk about some of those control mechanisms that they use, because I want to get your point of view on this. I know a lot of people don't think like me when it comes to these things, but how do you feel about alcohol and the tobacco industry, being that they're completely controlled and regulated by the government, meaning They're the ones making all the money. They're the ones who've created these things. And then we see that they don't do anything but kill us. So what's that to make us say? Like, the government gives us things that, oh, well, that's no surprise. So how do you feel about that? I know a lot of people like to drink and have a good time and party, but myself personally, I don't do those things only because the government controls and regulates them. If
I don't drink alcohol at all, so I do not partake in tobacco. They're poison. The reason they're legal is because they're poison. And the reason marijuana is illegal is because it gives you a higher state of consciousness. And it comes from the creator, it comes from nature. And alcohol and tobacco absolutely are there to poison people. And if you going to a bar and paying $5 for your each glass of poison just to sing karaoke, and I bring up karaoke and drinking a lot because that is what goes on in my town. Good people go and do this nonsense. I don't understand it. But yes, it's poison. It's poison. And
it's the only thing that the government, well, no, there is one other thing that the government has total control over, and that's the meat industry, and that's another industry that I choose not to support. But how do you feel about, I mean, you were in the band called Sloppy Meat Eaters, and I always meant to ask you, was that, you know, because you are, you do or don't, or give me a little insight.
Well, the name is just a name. It was a silly little thing that made me giggle. However, it was funny, during our Warped Tour days, our tent would be next to the PETA tent. And we'd have big banners that say Sloppy Meat Eaters. We were naive, idiot Southerners. Didn't know we could possibly offend anyone like that. But the PETA people, they have some humor. But,
well, I the mean, PETA, PETA, I think, is a government front.
But, actually, hey, hamburgers. What can you say? But I don't eat hamburgers. Take that out. I'll eat a steak. I'll eat a chicken.
I mean, I myself, I used to absolutely love, I mean, I'm not going to deny, I would probably to this day still eat, if I could get it myself, like, I was talking about this with Lindsay, because Lindsay eats meat, and she doesn't see anything wrong with it either, and I know most people, probably everybody on Revere, I'm probably the only one, but it's because I think that the meat industry is so corrupt, and now they're even admitting that it's not even real meat that you're eating, it's cloned meat. And if you haven't,
no,
looked,
I haven't heard that.
Oh, you've got to look into that. The FDA, like Alex Jones says, and I believe him when he says this, that once you read it in the paper, it means that they've already done it. They do things in secret, don't tell you about it all the time, and then once they're ready to, like, let you know that they've done it is when you see it in the papers, and this says, you know, I read it on the front page of my newspaper the other day. FDA approves clone meat. So, in stores, you really are eating clone meat from cloned animals. Now, that, to me, was like the nail in the coffin when I first kind of was leaning towards, you know, stopping because of I don't want to support the government. And that was enough to me to say, hey, I'm not going to eat this anymore because, number one, it's cloned. Number two, it's manufactured and, you know, cloned by the government, and it's probably cloned because it probably does something worse to you than like a true natural raised animal. I mean, it's cloned. I mean, it's got to not, can't, it can't be good for you. It can't be.
Well, the slaughterhouses alone are enough to really deter me, and I tried to stop because it's like any addiction. It's hard to stop an addiction that you've had for decades. At least it is for me.
So, it is for me.
I'm trying to educate myself on nutrition.
Well, that's, I think in 2007, that should be the main focus of everyone. Not only nutrition, but just anything about you personally. We all know that everything around us is messed up and is bad. And it's real bad, and it's getting real bad. Yes, we know that. How can we fix what's going on in our own personal...
Unplugging from it.
Yes, exactly. Just saying, I recognize outside is bad. Nothing I can do about it, really. They're in control. I mean,
that's a huge thing, because if everyone did that, they'd have no energy to keep their system going.
Well, they would have no, yeah, they wouldn't have their little battery packs, because their battery packs wouldn't be going to work for them anymore. They would say, hey, I realize what's going on. I'm one with myself and with the Creator. I don't need to go be a slave for this corporation anymore. And it would just be, you know, a nice Davidian compound where we could all live in harmony until ATF came and bombed it.
And the FBI came and burned it.
That's all you need, you know, really in life. That's all I want. That's all I'm asking for out of life. It's not too much, I don't think. But
I want to find the magic. I want to talk to these beings, the evil and the good ones. You know, just like with drugs, I tried them all before I decided I didn't want to do what before I decided what was bad. So I'd like to do that with the magical, spiritual, interdimensional side. You know, if that really exists, the hell with the New World Order. Just go off into the magical universe that is now. I think that's where I'm heading.
Well, Josh, I'm going to admit something to you. I have tried, and I, you know, have taken part in satanic rituals and things like that. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what direction I wanted to go into. I knew that Christianity and all that was a fraud. So I was like, I'm going to look for anything else, whatever the opposite of that fake Christianity is. So I said, well, it must be Satanism. So I went and I did some rituals. I tried to get into it. Didn't feel it. Didn't feel anything. It didn't do anything for me. It wasn't into it. Wasn't my thing. It was, you know, the whole...
Did it work at all?
No. I didn't see any effect. I didn't see any feeling. I didn't have any, you know... But then I did the same thing. Now, here's what's interesting, is that I decided to do the same exact thing. I when I did the satanic ritual, what I did, you know, everything's got to be in the dark. Everything's got to be done in the dark. I did it in the dark. I had some candles lit, you know... Typical type of satanic, occult, pagan stuff that you would want to do. I'm not going to explain the ritual. No one has to go through it. But when I decided to go to the other side and see if there was a true heavenly creator, I went with the same way with the lights off, but this time I didn't light candles. I lit incense because I had read in the Bible, in Revelation, I believe it's the 8th chapter, that the prayers of the righteous ones are received through the incense and the smoke of the incense. So why is it always about the burning of plants? And why is the burning of plant called cannabis so special? Why is burning that plant something absolutely unbelievable? You know, so you got to really consider the Bible was telling you how to live your life and how to get the answers. You just had to decode it and understand. So when I went through that process, the process which the Bible says will lead you to the Creator, it certainly did, and I did it in truth and in seriousness, wanting to find the answer. And I guarantee to anybody else out there listening, if you did the same thing, you go yourself into a room, you get in darkness, you light incense, and you get strong meat. Strong meat is defined as meat that exercises your senses to discern good and evil. Now, cannabis...
Explain this to us. Strong meat.
In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 12, it says, I'm paraphrasing, that strong meat will exercise the senses to discern good and evil. And meat is... Genesis 1:29 says that meat is all herbs bearing seed upon the face of the earth. Now, cannabis is undoubtedly an herb that bears seed. It's on the face of the earth. And strong meat, the word strong, particularly means that it's something that's not your average herb. It's a little bit stronger than that. And cannabis is definitely strong meat, and it does discern. It helps you discern good and evil, just as the Bible said. I mean... All of it's in there. Everything that we have questions about for life, if you truly took the time to go through it and want to study it and learn it, you would see that it was in there. And that's what I did, and that's... there's no way to describe the experience, but if you would do it with a true heart, anyone listening would decide to go into a room and just meditate and just sit there. And even if you don't listen to the... Well, what I do, I listen to the audio Bible because it's... The easiest way, I love music. I guess I just one of those people who learn by hearing. I can hear a song and know everything about it just by hearing it. And I could hear the Bible and know everything about it just by hearing it. I might not be able to recite you word for word what's in the Bible, but I know everything that it says. I know all that it teaches. And I can point you to where to find the answer to something if you have a question. And it's, you know, that's how you should be with it. And anybody, if you were to walk into a church and ask any of the people in any of the seats if they could do the same thing, I guarantee they wouldn't. They could only tell you whatever the guy at the front of the room had told them for that day. And I'm sure they won't remember that again the next week. But this is the path that got me here. I'm not saying it's the only path. Everybody has to find the correct path. And I'm not saying that you should go do satanic rituals to find that path. But
well, here's my question. This is the blockage that's in front of me. There's satanic rituals where you call satanic beings that give you satanic powers that you can use in this real, tangible, physical world. Now, is there a same methodology to get the positive entities, the positive power, and project that into the physical now? Is that possible?
Well, what I did was, I called upon the author of the Bible. I was saying this writing was authored by someone, and I want you to reveal yourself, because that's what they say the Bible was, that the creator of the universe was revealing himself to man through these words, through this scripture, through this doctrine. So I said, if you revealed yourself to man before to give us this book, then reveal yourself now. And I'm telling you, without question, he revealed himself, and if you're paying attention, he will do the same to you and to anyone else.
What was your experience? Explain it to us.
Well, it's really hard to explain. I was in a room, and well, I mean, I guess it's hard to explain the beginning. I can explain an experience, but I can't explain. People say that that's the day that I got saved, you know, and that's the day that I became a born again. But there really is no one specific day, because it's a long, long process. There wasn't any one day that you just woke up, and you're still not woken up, believe it or not. None of us are. There's still so much more that we don't know, but it's a slow, gradual process. And I guess the very first day that I realized that I was in this process was when I did just that. I was desperate. I had gone through the satanic rituals. I had done all types of other things, and I knew that there was some reason that the Bible was such a powerful, powerful document. Why throughout thousands of years people would die for this, people would kill for this, people would do things for this writing. And I thought it was a very intelligent book at the time. I liked poetry. I thought it was well written. And basically, to make a long story short, kind of like they say, if you feel a certain way and you truly project that, then you'll get a response. And I was truly projecting, wanting to know. And I was in a dark room, which all of a sudden got darker, and the room felt like it was on top of me. It's impossible to explain or to recreate. But it's
a physical...
Yes, it was physical and mental, all in one. And I kind of screamed out, like, it's time to show yourself, or something to that effect. And just as I did, there was their response. And, you know, it's unlike anything that you can put into words, kind of like, I mean, I hate to use this. I'm not going to compare it to that. That's something bad.
No, go ahead.
No, it's horrible. I cannot explain it. It's inexplicable. It's one of those things that you only can have to try for yourself. You know how people do the, you know, it's one of those things that you can only experience for yourself, and you can't ever fully express to someone how it was. But
here's the interesting thing here. For the last three to 6 months, I've lost track of time with it. I've been sitting in my room with incense of all kinds, meditating on all facets of the information in my head, talking to the angels, to the aliens, to the good gods, to the bad gods, to the CIA in my head, anyone. I'm asking them if you're there, because I do feel a presence. I do feel a presence. I've asked them over and over to expose themselves, but nothing ever comes. So, maybe I'm just not worthy or ready yet.
Well, I was going to say, maybe... Well, If you were to get a response, would you be ready to give your life over completely? Because I was, and I did. And maybe that's why he did reveal himself at that time, because he knew that I was to the point where I was completely ready, that if I did get this response, that was going to be it. And I was going to be ready to give over my life, all my old ways, every horrible bad thing that I've ever done, every type of, you know, people think, that I think is the number one reason why people don't go with it. Because they are not ready to give up their past and their past life and everything that goes with, you know, truly living for the truth, you know. And maybe people out there...
Well, I think that I'm absolutely ready, and I've already done that. And that's why I'm beginning to realize that there's only me and my consciousness with me right now. And my consciousness has everything that I need. I just have to learn to tap it. Because I'm learning the difference between good and evil, and I'm definitely distancing myself away from my evil ways of the past, no doubt about it. But it's not because of some outside source, at least it doesn't feel that way. So I'm afraid that I'm in the humanist realm right now, where I think we are here alone with our consciousness. There's a lot of mighty magic to the consciousness that might expose what this God thing is all about. But I think it all lies there. I think you're right about that. It's all within.
It's all in how it's perceived. And on that note, we are going to go to our last song of the night. We are with our guest, Josh Chambers. He is, man, I hope one day you get a show on Revere, because I could listen to it all day. Everything you have to say, all your perspective on life, your whole take on the big picture. Because, I mean, not a lot of people can see the big picture, and not a lot of people even looking to try to see... To try to find a big picture. They're just happy seeing the same little snapshot that they've got their entire life. But you're trying to find the whole thing, and thank you for thinking outside the box.
Hey, likewise. And I might just do that with the show.
Well, I'm sure everyone here on Revere is waiting for that, undoubtedly. And on that note, let's go to a song. We got only a couple minutes left here. We're with Josh Chambers. This is Save Your Generation. This is Friday, January 5th, it is. Wow. Already. 2007. Whoop-dee.
I want to see the Constitution burn. Want to watch the White House overturn. Want to witness some blue blood bleed red. Want to come and lead the KKK. Want to pull into NRA. Yeah. Murder the government. Murder the government. Murder the government and men. Murder the government. Murder the government. Murder the government and men. Murder the government.
All right, Josh, it seems like we're out of time here on this Save Your Generation, so we're just going to have to be quick and wrap it up. Everybody, song you just heard, No Effects with Murder the Government, that one goes out to, who does that go out to, Josh?
Kevin, my buddy Kevin, from
C-Town. C-Town? Kev, dog, that's for you?
Hey, thank you, that sounded so pale and white, you hipped it up a bit, thank you.
All right, well, that's cool. I think we're done for tonight, guys. I hope you all enjoyed listening. Josh, as always, thank you so much for coming on. We are, like, cutting it so close, so I'm going
to
keep this. Yes, definitely. I can't wait for you to get that show. When it airs, come on and tell everybody about it, and I'll come on there. But this is Save Your Generation, Friday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the one and only Revere Radio Network. Thank you so much, Rob. Everybody, please go and donate over at revereradio.net, because this is listener-sponsored radio, as you know. And be sure to check out our host, phaylon.com. That's phaylon.com. And support Revere. And thanks for listening. See you later.